I am Plot on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Vancouver Queer Film Festival is on here in town the 11th to the 21st of August, and having its hometown premiere is the documentary It Runs in the Family. Its director, producer, and writer, Joella Cabalu, joins me now. Soon after her younger brother, Jay, comes out, the two head off to meet other members of their family who are queer. There's a cousin in Oakland, California, as well as a cousin and uncle in the Philippines. We see Jay as an artist creating a piece that reflects his journey of discovery and family identity. The relatives in the Philippines are particularly interesting because there's a cousin, Carlo, who conducts himself as Jazz, a female, yet who retains aspects of his male identity as well as his Roman Catholic faith. The discussions with Jazz and an uncle named Chris regarding coming out are rather remarkable, as it's not as pronounced as it is, say, in Western culture. The film is a great view onto tolerance, family, and the lineage that one reconciles with thanks to divisions of generation, language, and geography. Joella Cabalu is a filmmaker with degrees from the University of British Columbia and Langara College. This is her first documentary and will screen here in Vancouver Tuesday the 16th at 9 p.m. at the Cineplex Odeon International Village Cinema. Having screened in Ontario, San Francisco, New York, and Seattle, the film will be broadcast this fall on Out TV. You can view a trailer on Vimeo. The Twitter handle is at Joella Cabalu. Please welcome to the Plot of the Line program sometime in late July, Joella Cabalu. Ms. Cabalu, good morning.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So, I'm a Filipino-Canadian. And one of the things that I've always found interesting when talking to people are the misconceptions that they have about Filipinos. And chief among them is this idea that being raised a Catholic means that it's a rather strict upbringing. And I remember having a discussion with someone a while back. They were asking me about a particular figure in the community here who happens to be a homosexual, and they were wondering how that could be if they were, say, raised a Filipino. And what struck me about your film is the view that you give to a lot of people in the West about just how gays are everywhere, and just as prevalent as say there as they are here in Canada, for example, and yet the folks in the Philippines still retain their religious affiliation. Was that something that surprised you and or Jay?
Yeah, certainly. I totally agree with your assessment of Filipinos. Definitely in the Western society. I certainly had those expectations going to the Philippines. That was actually the first time I had visited, me and my brother had visited the Philippines since we've immigrated. So that's over two decades. Mm-hmm. And I was going in with the expectation that this is a very Catholic, very conservative country. And in some respects, it is. There is certain things that I wasn't, I was struck by, you know, just how pervasive the Catholic faith is in kind of everyday life. Like, you will see churches and malls and statues of the Virgin Mary in a business district, so things that you wouldn't see in Canada or the U.S. But what was I found surprising was, with the conversations that I had with my relatives, that even though that they identify as queer, they still retained a lot of their Roman Catholic faith. And to me, my kind of experience and with other folks who are gay and Asian or Filipino, that's always been a source of conflict. So I was pleasantly surprised to see that within my own family, that these family members have been able to reconcile them, and in a way that didn't, wasn't so challenging, that it was just, that's how it is. It seems so easy and effortless.
Yeah, and so in watching your film, and you talked to relatives in the Philippines, was it something difficult for them to reconcile? I mean, being a homosexual and practicing as a Catholic?
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about how difficult it is for people here.
Right.
And you know, I'm a lapsed Catholic, and you know, I always think about my religion, you know, regularly. But it seemed to me, in watching your film, that they didn't. Is that a correct assumption on my part?
Yeah, I think my perception of it was that these kinds of topics are generally unspoken in the Philippines, or at least within Filipino families, that we don't talk about these sensitive issues of homosexuality and religion and how it affects the family. And in some respects, I thought that was kind of a disservice to the family to not be able to openly talk about it. But in speaking with my relatives in the Philippines, this was essentially kind of the first time that they have talked about it openly. And it almost seemed like perhaps there isn't questioning, like, why is it that in the West that there's this construct of coming out that we have to publicly announce that we're gay. So they found that they were curious about why that is. And I think for them, they've just resolved for themselves that this is who they are, and that they still believe in the Roman Catholic faith, and that they love their family, and their family members love them. So there isn't this need to outwardly express that this is how they identify. So I found it very surprising indeed that, at least for the family members that I talked to in the Philippines, that they didn't seem to have that struggle.
But there are challenges that they face, though, in their daily life in the Philippines. Is that correct?
Well, in the film, we went to the Metro Manila Pride Parade. That was the first time for Jazz to attend. And it's interesting because it was the 20th anniversary of the parade. And when we went there, we saw protesters, religious protesters with placards with biblical passages condemning homosexuality. So that's kind of the general background of the Philippines, if you want to get an idea of how Roman Catholic or how conservative it is. But from my point of view, for my cousin and my uncle, it didn't seem to affect them that much, and I think I attributed that to the fact that they had the love and support of their family members. And not to disregard that there is discrimination, that is a fact, but within their own family, they have that support.
So when was it that you found out that you had a number of relatives in your family that were gay? I mean, well, was this after Jay had come out to you?
I think it's one of those things that it's just over the years, and that you would hear during family gatherings, kind of just gossip, and it will be a side remarks and nothing so explicit, but always insinuated. So I don't think it's like happened exactly around when Jay came out, but I think when Jay came out, it just perked my ears a little bit more to listen more carefully and think more critically of when those comments would be made. So it made me more curious, like, who are these people?
And there was this myth, I guess, in your family that because of the numbers, say, the blood of your family was cursed.
Yeah, that was certainly one of those comments that was that we would hear. And again, I think as when Jay came out, that made me wonder to, like, let's dig deeper into this. Like, why is that? Why, and are these other family members, are they struggling with their faith, their sexual identity?
So another person we meet in the film is your cousin in Oakland.
Correct.
The experience that she has had, do you think it's different because, as opposed to, say, your relatives in the Philippines, because she grew up in the United States?
Yeah, I think the experience is different. Her parents immigrated to the United States in the 70s. So I think they were in their 20s or 30s, so fairly young, and they moved to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So being such a liberal city, I think they had more time to be accustomed to the culture of that city and meet other folks who are queer identified. So I find that their experience interesting. Because of that, their immigrant experience and the city that they lived in. So I think that Monica's experience coming out to her mom really reflects her mom's kind of background and the history of her moving to San Francisco.
The by the way, are all of your relatives from the same side of the family?
Correct.
Yeah. The other thing that I was wondering in watching your film is, why don't we see your parents in the film?
My parents were involved in a short film that I made that was a graduating
short
film.
Oh, is this Stand Still?
Correct.
Oh, I see.
And their experience with that was very intense, and they decided not to be involved with this film.
What did you set out to document in this film, It Runs in the Family? I guess it was right after Jay came out that you wanted to make a film like this. Is that right?
Yeah. Jay came out to me in 2007, and maybe a month or two after, I watched a documentary at the Vancouver International Film Festival. I watched a doc called For the Bible Tells Me So, and that portrayed five American Christian families and how they each dealt with the coming out of their child. I thought that the timing was really well-timed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me think about Jay and our family and how that story would look for our own family. And what I observed from this film was that out of five families, only one of them was a family of color. So it definitely, I think there was an opportunity there to create a story about immigrant, a family and, Asian experience as well.
Well, was Jay enthusiastic to participate in this film?
Well, obviously because I approached him for my student's grad film.
Yeah.
When I initially told him about the idea, he was excited, but as the process and the journey began, it became clear to him that this was going to be more challenging because a lot of the emotions that he dealt with about coming out, he had already put aside, and in his mind, he had dealt with already. So this is going to be difficult to dredge up all of those feelings again. So I think he is glad that he went on this journey, mainly because we had the opportunity to meet so many of our relatives that we had never met before, and now we have this kind of unique experience and bond.
So for the two of you, the questions that you might have going into a project like this, you know, I'm curious to know what those are. And in having finished the film and having now screened it in numerous places and taking it home to Vancouver, if you will, shortly, do those concerns, do those questions, those get answered at all?
I think they bring up new questions.
Isn't that always about life, though, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of it. I definitely, when I started this journey with my short film, I didn't expect or imagine the journey that it would take us on. And it first began with this question of what is my responsibility as a sister and a daughter in a family with this kind of conflict. And as the film got expanded into It Runs in a Family, I still thought about that kind of role, but then it made me think, especially going back to the Philippines, made me wonder what is my identity as a Filipino, as a Filipino-Canadian. And so I think it was a positive experience for me to think more about that. How do I reclaim that identity that for a very long time I didn't want to identify? I just wanted to be Canadian.
it was 20 years, right?
We've now lived in Canada for 25 years.
Yeah. That always interests me when I talk to people like yourself who are who come to this country from elsewhere and who go back. That experience, I mean, did it at all feel familiar?
There was part of me that was afraid going back to the Philippines because I'm not fluent in Tagalog.
Uh-huh.
And I was afraid that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to get around. I'm not going to be able to pass.
Yeah.
And I just told myself, like, just commit to whatever the word is in your mind and to the accent and just go for it.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at how much I was able to recall when I was there. And in speaking with my cousins, some of whom whose English is, they weren't as fluent or as confident in speaking it, I would tell them to speak to me in Tagalog and I'll reply in English. So there was that feeling of, like, afterwards that I was wondering, like, why do I have to be so fearful about this language? And so there was a bit of it that kind of came to me that was a little bit more familiar, something in the recesses of my mind that I would have heard in my youth had come back to me. And I think it was just connecting with or reconnecting with some of our relatives and meeting for the first time Jazz. And that there was, a sense of familiarity there that even though we have lived in different countries and different cultures, but, you know, we're still family. And I remember Jay and Jazz got on so quickly, and that was so lovely to be a part of.
I was born here, but I've only been to the Philippines twice. Once when I was a kid, mm-hmm. which I don't really remember, other than that it was really hot, and then once about 6 years ago when I was a little older, and I don't speak Filipino at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when I got there, I wasn't worried about that part. But I must say, it felt familiar. It felt it was a place that I recognized, even though I'd only been there once before.
Right.
And I mean, these are things, I guess, that a lot of people feel whenever they go back to the country where their parents are from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy because, well, I guess most of the people in the Philippines speak English, so it's
right.
From a tourist perspective, I guess it's easy to get around.
Yeah, I think there is it would certainly help to have my relatives there to kind of be my tour guide.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, one occasion when it was just me and Jay venturing into the city. You know, when he had to flag down a taxi. I was able to at least tell them where I want to go and say that in Tagalog. But as soon as Jay and I started speaking in the back seat just regularly, they knew that we're foreigners.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, it was always interesting that, you know, being raised and living in Vancouver, I have always felt like an other, always getting these questions of, where are you from? And so it was nice to go to the Philippines and see my face reflected in the crowds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I became very aware of the the privilege that I have, having grown up in a Western country. And beyond that, too, I'm fair-skinned as well. Mm-hmm. So it's as if I'm not dark enough to be a Filipino, and I'm not white enough to be a Canadian. So it's again, those questions about identity really came to the forefront when I went to the Philippines and came back home.
Well, what of your relatives in the Philippines? And I'm particularly interested because we spend a lot of time with Jazz, your uncle Chris, and then your other uncle whose name I forget now.
Ronald.
Ronald. You talk to them quite a bit in the film, and their perspective is interesting because it's of a different country. What have they told you about what they've learned having met Jay and participated in this film? I mean, you mentioned earlier that this is the first time that they probably talked about some of this stuff, right?
Yeah. I think not necessarily with those uncles, but with my cousin and extended family who are not in the film, but comments that they would tell me about Jay, because this is the first time that they met him, that I think they had a stereotype in their mind of what a gay man is, that he would have a sort of an effeminate voice, mm-hmm. like the gay, you know, quote-unquote voice. That he would be flamboyant, you know, and so I think they had those visions in his mind, and I recall one of them saying that they were surprised that he's not like that. I think that just kind of speaks to what kind of representation the LGBT community have in the Philippines, and that might carry forward when if people move to the U.S. or Canada. So I think it's good to have those conversations and to like kind of normalize it, and also not to judge as well. Like that's a fair kind of assumption. That's their background, right?
Yeah. This is your first film, is that right?
Yeah, my first feature length out of finishing film school.
Yeah. You're a young filmmaker. I'm curious to know why you chose film as your career.
Yeah, I have always been interested in movies. That's something that me and Jay really bonded on when we were younger kids, going to video rental stores and getting our pick of, you know, four movies to watch over a weekend, right? And so we were very interested in entertainment, and so we kind of devoured pop culture in that sense. And I actually had made my first film when I was 15 years old. I went to the Galeano Island Film and Television School for a week, for a film camp week. And when I was going to UBC, at first my degree, I was going to declare my degree as film studies. But something happened at that age, I was 20 years old, that I somehow convinced myself that I wouldn't be good at this profession. I wouldn't succeed in this industry. And it's only after looking back that I realized that I had all these perceptions of what I needed to be in order to be successful in the film industry, that I needed to be more extroverted, that I needed to be aggressive. And now I realize that I think the main reason was that I wasn't a man. I didn't know any women directors at that time, and certainly didn't know any Filipino women or women of color who are directors. So that's kind of the reason why I put it aside.
Yeah.
And did my degree in art history instead. So film had always been there in my youth, and then just something happens in becoming an adult that I had all these doubts in my head that I wouldn't be good. So I think that's kind of the importance of having this representation in the media and then also in behind the camera as well. So it's always been there. It just took me a long time to get there.
Yeah. So from here on out, the sort of films that you'll make, have you got that in mind, say, as to what your next project will be or what future projects might be?
Yeah, I think I just kind of jumped right from film school into making a very long film, like the longest film that I made. So I kind of want to dial back and really hone my craft at short docs. And I'm currently co-producing a Bravo Fact-funded short documentary, and I'm developing a series of short docs on the nuances and negotiations that Asian women living in Vancouver face when they're in a relationship with a white guy.
Hmm. Yeah, and it must be fun to bring this film back home for the first time. And as I said in the introduction, it screened at various festivals already. The feedback that you've gotten already must have been interesting.
Yeah, I think when you are so mired in your own project, I'm a kind of cynical, but I kind of look at all the negative things that happened along the way, that those are the challenges that that are in my mind. So it was lovely to present the film. A majority of them have been at Asian American film festivals, and when we premiered, the U.S. premiere at the Seattle Asian American Film Festival, one audience member commented that it was so inspiring and refreshing to see a representation of an Asian family who is so loving. And for him, it was nice to see that these families do exist.
Yeah.
'Cause the dominant perception out there is that, you know, all Asians are brushed with the same paintbrush, that we're all conservative and monolithic. So that's been a common response about the film, that it's so refreshing to have a positive representation for once.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all good wishes and congratulations as you bring this film back to Vancouver. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and I enjoyed the film a great deal. All the best.
Thank you so much, Joe.
The website for tickets, queerfilmfestival.ca. The film screens Tuesday, the 16th of August at 9 p.m. The filmmaker, Joella Caballo, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.